More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. For all the good that Milwaukee has going for it, the city continues to deal with the reality that by many measures, this is the most segregated city in the country. It's an issue that touches many others, from education to employment to crime and law enforcement. It's also one for which solutions have been elusive. The Zeidler Center for Public Discussion is looking to take a different approach. This Sunday, the organization holds the second part in a three-tiered effort to address the issue of segregation, a citywide dialogue on the subject. Catherine Wilson is the Zeidler Center's executive director. She joins us in the studio now. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
This event that is coming up this weekend is not a one-off discussion. Where does it fall in the context of this larger project you are doing on both building thriving community and doing something about segregation?
To begin, we were talking about poverty, actually, with people in the community and actually running a series on what makes Milwaukee thrive. And from those efforts, people were really saying, well, we can't talk about what makes Milwaukee thrive, and we can't even talk about poverty without talking about segregation. And so responding to those calls, we put together a steering team that would form this series on segregation. We went into neighborhoods across Milwaukee throughout the summer and talk with small groups of people, about 15 people each, on their experiences of segregation, what they thought would make Milwaukee thrive beyond segregation, and their motivations to act and where they might be feeling held back to engage in efforts. And from those small groups, we have compiled a report together, and then we are going to have our citywide event this Sunday. And then that also leads into, in October 13th, the Greater Together Challenge. So we were really excited to partner with the Greater Together Coalition. And these two efforts, their effort to create a contest of ideas to combat racial and economic inequality in Milwaukee, and the Zeidler Center's series on segregation, just it was a beautiful synchronicity.
Well, and so let's talk about some of these small community dialogues that you held leading up to this. What were the kinds of lessons that you took from those events, and how were those groups organized?
Well, we really wanted to change our method of calling the city to community dialogue by instead calling small groups, starting at the grassroots level, working with one or two conveners, people of influence within their communities, or people just of that were interested in calling colleagues and friends together. And so we worked with those people, and then they called their, like I said, they called their colleagues and friends together to a dialogue. I think the lessons that came out of the dialogues, well, first, they tended to be more homogenous. I mean, Milwaukee is segregated, and so to go into a neighborhood, we ended up talking with often, not always, but often a homogenous group of people. And I thought that that was okay, because in discussing challenging things, it can be easier to start with people that you know, people that are look like you and that you're comfortable and that you trust. And I think one of the lessons that we learned, we intentionally didn't define segregation. Our questions were talk about your experience of segregation in Milwaukee. And so people had different definitions. Is that synonymous with inequality, for example? And I thought that was a really fruitful discussion. A lot of people said that they liked their community. They liked living by the people that they were living next to, and that for them, the real problem was unequal access to resources, for example.
This is segregation on a sort of different scale, or maybe of a different nature than maybe the term normally carries.
Well, I would say so, but our city and our state has gotten some horrific reviews in the past years and up to today about the state of segregation. I mean, Milwaukee is number one in black-white residential segregation. Wisconsin is number one worst incarceration rate for black men. Wisconsin is number one in failing to protect African-American children. Milwaukee is number one lowest percentage of Hispanic-owned businesses, and on. Just some really horrific statistics. And we wanted to as a center and as the Greater Together Coalition, create a safe place for people to come together to talk about these challenging things.
And as you said, many of the small community dialogues, the participants were relatively homogenous. I would imagine that as you go to the citywide dialogue, the opposite would be true. You would be troubled if it were a homogenous group that came together for this.
Absolutely. In one sense, the dialogue will only succeed if we have great diversity. And so we've been trying to reach out to many groups and also leverage the small groups, those people who already went through a dialogue, acting as conveners, inviting their friends, inviting their colleagues to the large citywide dialogue. On the other hand, you know, if we get a lot of white people that show up, it is very much a white problem. And not just a problem that is in the hands of minorities within the city. And so I feel like regardless of who shows up, we're going to have resources available, we're going to be brainstorming, and we're going to be speaking from our hearts.
And so what is the hope in terms of an action step or steps that come out of this dialogue?
One of the facets of the Zeiler Center for Public Discussion when we lead discussions is we don't try to, in advance of the dialogue, say to the participants, right, well, this is what's going to come out of this,
sure,
dialogue. We want it to be organic. However, we have worked with each of the groups that we led small group community dialogues over the summer. We asked them and facilitated them to brainstorm action steps together. And for those who wanted to, they created proposals and submitted them to the Greater Together Challenge. There were 15 finalists. And all of the proposals you can find online, but 15 finalists who will be presenting their proposals at the October 13th event. So that's after October 5th, the citywide dialogue. And so those proposals are exciting action steps that people can engage with, that can become part of those efforts. And also after our dialogue on the 5th, towards the end of our time together, we'll have a time of networking. So, for example, people can sign up for Martha Berry's class called Unlearning Racism, offered by the YWCA. And so that will be offered there. There'll be continued dialogue that people can sign up for and a host of efforts that people will be introduced to.
This is a topic that has been on the radar screen of many people in this community for quite some time. As you held these smaller community dialogues, did you get any kind of consistent sense for why efforts in the past have come up short or why this, you know, remains a persistent problem?
Well, I would say that I wouldn't want it to seem that we're providing the fix, whereas past efforts have failed. I would say that we will succeed as long as we keep this at the forefront of the public's awareness. And so we're interested in helping to do that in any way that we can. I feel that one thing that came up in the small dialogues is that Milwaukee is very siloed. There's a lot of efforts going on, but not a lot of crosstalk. And so having a dialogue where people are on a horizontal plane, where they're meeting each other, allows for combined efforts. And also there's a lot of, in general, mistrust. And so I'm excited about what citywide dialogue can produce in terms of bringing people together to produce greater understanding and lessen dehumanization and demonization of the other.
What will people experience at the citywide dialogue on Sunday? How does it work?
Well, we try to begin all of our dialogues with a shared meal, and this one will be no different. So we'll come for a free shared meal, and then we'll gather in the large group just for an introduction to the dialogue, how it's different than a debate, and how the facilitation will work. The participants will be introduced to the facilitators, which are a very diverse group of people in themselves, and I'm very excited about that. Then we'll be split into small groups of about 5 to 6 people each, and we'll just sit around in circles of chairs without tables. And each of those small groups will have a facilitator from the Zeiler Center. And those small groups will be taken through a series of questions. And no one is ever forced to answer. It's a very slow process. Embedded in that process is a lot of reflection time. And we use communication agreements to make sure that the environment feels safe so that people aren't criticized by other people. When one person is talking, no one else is talking or interrupting. After a series of rounds within the small group, there is an open discussion within each small group, again facilitated. And then we'll break into a time of networking where people who have submitted proposals can talk about their ideas within the large group, and we'll just really have a mix. And then people can sign up for continued initiatives.
Well, it sounds like a remarkable day and just a really important project. Catherine Wilson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Catherine Wilson is the executive director of the Zeidler Center for Public Discussion. The center's citywide dialogue on segregation in Milwaukee starts at 12:30 Sunday afternoon at Redeemer Lutheran Church at 19th and Wisconsin. There's a link to more about the project and how to register for the Sunday event at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. One last break, and then a man whose mission in life is to expose fraudulent claims of the paranormal. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.